What is up, everybody? This is the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Rock Spotlight's mission is to connect others through an educational podcast. Each episode will highlight someone from Rochester, New York, in the health and wellness space who is thinking outside of the box, providing exceptional products and or services, and is elevating our community. Make sure to stay tuned after the podcast for more information on my practice, on my approach to healing, and a little bit more about myself. Thanks for listening, guys. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, and today we'll be discussing depression and serotonin. About 10% of adults will have at least one major depressive episode in a given year, which is up from about 7% in 2017. The neurotransmitter serotonin can be a big-time player in depression. We're going to talk about ways to naturally boost this important chemical. So with that, let me introduce our special guest. Mary Margaret Moses Jean Greco, Meg for short, grew up in a small town outside of Canandaigua, New York, called Manchester. From a young age, she knew she was put on this earth to help others. Meg knew her purpose was to help people realize they are not alone in their feelings and that they have value. She went to St. Bonaventure University for her undergraduate work, then on to graduate school at SUNY Brockport, where she earned a master's in counselor education. Meg worked as a drug and alcohol counselor for a few years, then as an advisor mentor at RIT. Somewhere along the way, she found a passion for physical wellness and started pursuing interests in that area as well. Currently, she stays at home with her favorite little guy, her almost three-year-old, who's adorable, by the way. Meg wanted to optimize her time at home. So during this time, she's been very intentional in what she wanted out of her life. She obtained her personal trainer certification through the National Academy of Sports Medicine, along with her group personal trainer certification. She's currently studying like crazy for her license in mental health counseling with a goal of merging both of these worlds, mental and physical, together. So with that, I'd like to welcome Meg on the podcast. What's going on?
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm doing great. And we got to start by saying we're in the same building, which is even better, but in different rooms. That's awesome. I didn't know that until we started the video, but I love that. It's great.
But I'm like, oh, okay, I'll just stay in here.
Well, let's talk shop. So let's start with, sure. Tell us your story. What or who inspired you to get into the health and wellness space?
You know, that's kind of a funny thing because when I thought about this, like, there wasn't a particular person. I would say that it was probably my dynamics growing up. So I remember at 9 years old saying to my uncle, who is a big advocate in my life and the guy I talk to when I'm setting goals and feeling driven. So my Uncle Randy, I said to him, I want to be a children's lawyer to help kids get out of homes that are not good for them. And then that just evolved more and more. And I noticed myself at a young age, I can think back in like fourth grade, and if kids were getting picked on, I didn't like that. So I would always stick up for them. And I'm not saying I'm perfect by any means, but I remember that inner feeling of being like, there's more to this person's story than what these kids are seeing in school. And I never wanted those kids to feel alone or like they were alone in their feelings. So I started then making sure that I helped people not feel so alone and feel value and feel validated in how they're feeling. So as I grew into middle school, I was asked by the school to be a peer mediator. So I went through training for that. They must have saw something in me then. I didn't even know about peer mediating. And then obviously when I went off to college at St. Bonaventure, I really wanted to get into counseling. And a funny story about that is my sister said, don't be a counselor. You're going to take everyone's burdens on. You won't be able to sleep at night. Don't do it. Go into teaching instead. And being 18 and trying to figure out what I wanted, but then listening to your family, I did end up going into teaching, like thinking I was going to be a high school English teacher, but nothing set. It didn't sit well with me. So as I moved into it, I'm like, no, I'm switching to psychology. That's more my thing. I want that one-on-one interaction. I want that human experience and get to know somebody's story personally and not just teachers are great, but that's not what I wanted in that realm, right? Mm-hmm. So I could be a teacher, but maybe not in that capacity. So then I went on and obtained my master's in mental health counseling. And I was always really passionate about the mental health aspect of things and the spiritual health. Mm-hmm. So merging those two things. Physical health, I ebbed and flowed with mm-hmm. for a year. And then finally, it was probably almost 7 years ago that I got back into physical health consistently. Mm-hmm. I was working as a drug and alcohol counselor. Do you want me to just keep going on and on about this?
Hey, you just tell your story. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, so anyway, back up a little bit. So once I get done with my mental health counseling degree, I end up working as a drug and alcohol counselor for a number of years, running groups for men that struggle with addiction and mental illness. Now, I never thought I would be an addictions therapist. That's not what I wanted to do. I didn't think that I would be good at it. It ended up being the best job for me. It ended up being a job that I grew the most professionally, personally. It opened my eyes up to a whole other world of illness in our society. And it developed such a compassion and empathy for me, for people that struggle with addiction. I can't say enough about that job. I grew tremendously in those few years I was there. And while I was doing it and helping these men with their communication skills, with, you know, getting them on track and their issues of depression or anxiety and trauma, as I'm doing that, I remember thinking, I need to practice what I preach. I was already pretty good at it. It's pretty self-aware. My college education definitely helped with that. But I started to really implement what I was telling them into my own life and into my own relationships. And I'm like, yeah, Meg, if you're going to do this, you have to practice what you preach. Mm-hmm. And came the physical wellness of everything. Because I remember at a young age thinking, I know nutrition plays a lot into this too, but I wasn't there yet. Mm-hmm. And I grew up knowing a lot about nutrition. And I don't think many of us did. And I grew up in a family, and this isn't good or bad, but nutrition was like the last thing on the totem pole. And we ate time and things out of a box all the time. So I fumbled a lot in my life with that and what exercise looks like and what's healthy and what's not. And especially nowadays where wellness gets thrown out all the time. Yeah. I think people are overwhelmed by that. And I don't think it's one size fits all. And I think I needed to find what works for me. Mm-hmm. And that's forever changing. Especially now that I have Luciano and everything and the time constraints. But I think, I just started getting into it more and more and more. And then I started to see the benefits it had on mental health. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to share that with people. So I'm like, I felt like I had found this key to life and how to live. And
you want to share it. You want to share it with the world. Yeah. I love how you blend the three, spiritual, mental, and physical. That's so cool. And you're just getting started. I mean, you're studying for a test, right?
Oh my gosh. Big test. So I'm studying for my license in mental health counselor exam, which is the hardest test I've ever studied for. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I've never had to study this hard in my life. So this one's been, it's been a lot. It's been exciting in a way though, too, because I'm seeing my progress and the practice I'm taking, and I'm excited about the opportunity that can come from this. So
you got a three-year-old at home. I mean, you're practicing what you preach. You got a lot in your plate. You know, you're trying to keep your fitness up and practice what you preach, and you're busy. You got a lot in your plate. So you're doing a good job.
Thanks.
So let's talk about serotonin. What exactly is serotonin?
So it's known as the happy chemical in the brain, right? It's the one that regulates your feelings and your well-being. So when your serotonin levels have dipped, that's when we're feeling irritable, discontent, depression symptoms start to creep in. It really regulates your overall functioning and helps you feel more stable. When your serotonin levels are level, you're more stable, you're more focused, you're more energized. You feel happier, you're sleeping better, all of those things. So when that dips, that's, again, like I said, depression, anxiety, panic attacks can start arising like that.
So that's how it's related to depression. Okay. So low serotonin could yield depression.
Depression symptoms. Now, you know, it's not always depression. It doesn't always mean that you have low serotonin.
Right.
So like there's,
it could be.
Yes.
Right.
A lot of times depression can be situational too. If you're going through your life, major changes, then that can bring on the depressed symptoms and depressed mood as well.
For sure. So just a disclaimer here. So just because you may be feeling depressed doesn't mean that you have low serotonin, but it could be. And that's kind of the focus of this podcast. So how can we naturally boost serotonin?
So there's a lot of ways. In short, I'll give you like three or four main things that you can do. And I can describe each of them more in detail later, but definitely getting a good night's sleep can actually naturally boost serotonin. The food you eat is a huge one. And I can go on and on about that. And getting light, like natural light. So I don't know if you've heard of seasonal affective disorder, which is pretty prominent here in Rochester, where it's pretty cloudy most of the year. That sunlight and vitamin D definitely boost serotonin levels. So those four things.
What types of foods? Like what nutrition?
Okay, so this is kind of funny because I know what works for me and everybody type is different. But then I'm like, you know what? I want to see if they actually give a list. Let me look up some foods that can actually boost serotonin. But first I'm going to tell you, let me back up a little bit. When I first was thinking about this, I'm like, well, I know what is bad for serotonin right off the bat. Mm-hmm. And actually foods that can decrease your serotonin. Okay. And that would be alcohol. Especially too much alcohol, you know. Mm-hmm. Artificial sweeteners are huge. So anything like soda, candy, things like that, that will bring your serotonin levels down. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if anyone's ever noticed this. I'm going to just talk really quickly. The more junk you eat, maybe the more irritable and discontent you get, that could be due to levels dropping.
Interesting.
I know when I have, like in the past, I've eaten too much of like the bad, like the, not the bad food, but the, you know, the artificial sweeteners, the things that aren't very good for you, you know, you eat more and more of that because you don't feel satisfied because they're not nutrient dense foods and they're making your serotonin levels go down. And when your serotonin levels go down, your body tends to crave that kind of carb, but carbs that are not good for you, not nutrient dense. It craves.
Because carbs actually make more serotonin, which also is a precursor to melatonin.
Yes.
So it does help you sleep, but you're right. The right carbs, the right amount of carbs, not just hammering a whole bag of potato chips.
Right, right.
Oh, gotcha.
Well, it's carbs that are fiber filled. Mm-hmm. So typical rule that I've learned about is if they're for every 10 grams of carbs, you want 1 gram of fiber. Noticing that you're like eating a bag of pretzels used to be my go-to, but if you're eating a bag of like, you know, rolled gold pretzels and there's no nutritional value in that. So you're going to end up mindlessly eating a whole bag and you're not even satisfied. You kind of had that bleh feeling because there's no nutrients in there.
Gotcha.
The thing that I found interesting is that tryptophan, the thing you have like turkey dinners, Thanksgiving, that actually has an amino acid that produces serotonin. So things like turkey, poultry, nuts, seeds, all of those things, tofu, all of those things can actually boost your serotonin levels.
Interesting. Okay. So yeah, we got to be careful with carbs. Carbs are definitely going to make you feel better because it's boosting serotonin, but the wrong carbs without the fiber is going to have your blood sugar spike and then dip. So that's going to cause a whole other host of anxieties, irritabilities, whatever, crashes,
right?
Getting hangry mentally and physically. Yeah, showing up. Okay.
You'll be tired, which is also an indication of low serotonin and once you're tired. So, yeah.
Gotcha. I liked how you started with what lowers your serotonin, what really not to eat. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that first and then kind of add in some good stuff. Okay. So that kind of takes care of like specific foods, which was great. Any other nutrients? You said tryptophan. That was awesome. Any other nutrients or like supplements?
You know, it's funny. Supplements you have to kind of be careful of, especially if you're already on a mental health medication, especially if you're already on antidepressant that is helping with your serotonin levels. If you have too much of something that's boosting your serotonin, you can have an adverse reaction that way. Mm-hmm. Now it is very rare, but again, you always want to consult a doctor about these things. Mm-hmm. I lost my train.
I mean, that's a great response. Cause I mean, I'm a doctor, but like, I'm not well-versed in, you know, supplying serotonin and different neurotransmitter support necessarily. You know, I'm definitely interested in that and doing a little bit of research, but this is just kind of strictly educational. Definitely talk to your doctor if you have questions about adding certain supplements.
I can speak from my experience on that. So I definitely try on the herbal supplement side of things before I go for a medication, like a prescribed medication. And I'm not against prescribed medication by any stretch of the imagination, but I like to try to see what might be out there. And my body just tends to respond really quickly and really like to the smallest dosage of anything. Like if I have allergic reaction, I have to take one Benadryl, not two, because I'm just cold. So I think it's important for everyone to remember that every body type is different. Yeah. And what level may work for you may not work for the next person, maybe too much for the next person, you know? Yeah. So
less is more. Yeah. And that's for any supplement. You know, I call it the pulse method. You know, pulse it, take half the supplement or a quarter of the supplement. See how you feel. If you're getting adverse reactions or you're irritable or you're anxious, that was too much for your system.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So what about like certain types of exercise? Like, is it going to be different body dependent too?
I think it's different body dependent, your ability, where you're starting out on your fitness journey, but also what you like. So I work with women online. I run a online Facebook group for, it's primarily geared towards physical wellness. I talk a little bit about the mental wellness, and everyone's coming in at their own pace. Some people haven't worked out in years. Some people have worked out forever. Some people have injuries, so they're looking for different programs. What I get a lot from women, because I work with mostly women, is they've tried this and this, they burned out, they stopped doing it, and now they don't know where to start, and they don't want that to happen again. So I've been there, and now I can happily say that exercise is definitely part of my lifestyle. It's been 7 years consistently. Mm-hmm. So what I try to do is figure out what they like. So I want people that are listening to this to not rule out exercise, because I think if people are like, oh, I got to start implementing an exercise routine to help my serotonin or to help me feel better, I just don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be you're pounding the pavement in the heat, running through the rain and running 6 miles a day. If that's your thing, God bless, good for you. But, and it doesn't have to be yoga if yoga is not your thing. Like there's so many different programs out there now and so many different exercises that you can either do at home or at a gym that are short. And honestly, what they recommend is 30 minutes a day, five times a week. Mm-hmm. 30 minutes, five times a week. I mean, how much time do we spend scrolling on our phone aimlessly?
Yeah, we can do that. Right.
You know? So I think it's important for people to kind of tap into what they like. Do they like higher intensity workouts? Do they like strength training workouts? And really find what's going to work for them. Don't sign themselves up for something that they know they're going to hate.
Mm-hmm. That's what you do. You crush it. I've seen you on social media at your home gym. Oh man, what's that workout do you do?
I love it. Oh my God. Well, so it's kind of funny. And when I said this in the beginning, you can change too. So before I had Luciano, I loved like the crazy high intensity burpee, tuck jumps. Gary, my husband always tells me I have springs in my feet. And I just love it. So I don't know if you've ever heard of Sean T, trainer. Sean.
Yeah.
Oh, I was all about that. And I still love him. But after having Luciano, and now I'm getting older, I still like those things, but I'm more into like strength training with the cardio first like that. For years, I spent time at the gym being on the elliptical or the treadmill, and I always got bored from that. And inevitably, I would quit for months at a time and then take a while to get back into it. But now I like the combination and changing things up and keeping things not being stuck in one routine every day. So I do a lot of strength training, complex sets. So upper and body movements at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I actually, it's funny. I only work out 35 minutes a day, and I'm probably in the best shape I've ever been. And
less is more. Yeah.
And it definitely, speaking for me with serotonin and depression symptoms, it definitely helps me focus. I have way more energy. Again, my husband tells me sometimes I have too much energy. And, I feel more goal directed, more focused on what I want to do. I have a more sense of staying in the moment and present.
Yeah.
Cause I can struggle with anxiety stuff, and anxiety and depression can kind of go hand in hand, and working out really helps with that.
That's your release. That's your outlet. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what I would do without.
Me too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what about like, have you ever dealt with low serotonin and depression yourself? If you feel comfortable sharing any stories, if you have.
You know, it's interesting when I think about that, I don't know if I don't know if physically my serotonin has ever gone down to a significant range. I've never needed to be on medication. I know that it's very beneficial. I have had depressive moments in my life. Most of the time it was situational. When I think about how I grew up, when I look back at that girl growing up, I can see, wow, she was pretty depressed in it. I didn't know any different. So I think when I was in it, I was in survival mode. Later in life, well, when I got out of that situation and onto college and on my own and realized what real happiness felt like, I was like, wow, amazing. But then when I felt those symptoms again, I was like, wait a second. Okay, so this can happen again. And it usually was always something stressful was going on in my life. But what I want to say to people too that are listening is if you're noticing a depressed mood for more days than not, for over a 2-week period, you need to get some help. When it starts affecting your functioning, when it starts affecting your work life, your school life, your relationships, that's when we start to say it's like you're clinically depressed. Right now, I think a lot of people are struggling ever since COVID. And that's been heavily on my mind and helping people through this time and recognizing what their triggers are and everything. So what I've done in my own life is I recognize what kind of triggers me. I recognize when those feelings are start to come on and maybe take over. Mm-hmm. And I do this that I know are going to work to help me get out of it. Like working out, eating healthy, getting up early in the morning. I'm up early. I do a meditation. I do a gratitude journal. I do all the things that I know are going to help, because even on the tough days, it makes me feel better. On the good days, it makes me feel great. But even on the days where I'm feeling really just down and dumps, things are going on in personal life or whatever, I still do those things because I'm increasing my chance of like not falling into a depression, you know, mm-hmm. not letting serotonin levels dip so low.
Your coping mechanisms. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So what about serotonin being too high? I mean, can we have too high levels of serotonin? If so, what would our symptoms be?
It's very rare. Where you see that typically, if someone's switching their medication that are prescribed by their doctor for their mental health symptoms, if they're switching it, if the dose is too high, if they're taking more than they're supposed to be taking, a lot of times too is if someone is on a mental health medication and they're using drugs, that's a combination for disaster. Mm-hmm. You can experience nausea, diarrhea, irritability more than ever if your serotonin levels are too high. Again, it's pretty rare. I will say that if someone is using drugs and alcohol, and again, on mental health meds, you have no idea whether those mental health meds are helping or not, because now you're altering it as well with drugs and alcohol. So I think the other important point to that, and I only am speaking on my experience from the patients and clients I worked with, mm-hmm. is if you are on mental health medications that are supposed to be helping with this, you have to consult your doctor on whether you're going to get off of it or not. You do not just take yourself off, you know, because you just always want to follow that recommended dosage. So again, it's really rare that someone would have too high of a level. It's usually if their meds are a little off, they're switching meds, they're taking more than they should be as prescribed, or they're taking like, they're on drugs and alcohol in conjunction with a medication.
Any other actionable tips for listeners dealing with depression?
Oh my goodness. First I'm going to say, don't be afraid to seek help. Talk to a counselor. There's counselors you can find on psychologytoday.com.
What does that mean? Is a counselor a therapist? Is it a psychologist? Is it a psychiatrist?
Good question. There's so many different ones, right? So I will be a licensed mental health counselor. There's also social workers. There's psychiatrists. There's psychologists. Psychiatrists are specifically the ones that usually are prescribing the medications, right? Okay. So the therapists are usually the mental health counselors and the social workers that you're coming for talk therapy and coping skills and maybe relaxation training. Things
but
like
you
that.
Would know when to refer to a psychiatrist. So I almost think that you should start with you or a social worker, right? Right. I'm trying to beef you up here. Get you some business before you even graduate, but it makes sense, right? That you're kind of like the PCP, the gatekeeper, and then you can hopefully solve a lot of problems. And if not, you can refer out.
a lot of people go to their PCP, their primary care physician, to get a referral to a psychiatrist or a counselor. Usually they refer them to a psychiatrist, but you're right. I tend to think go to a talk therapist first, social health counselor, because they're going to be the one to really assess and give you that proper referral to a psychiatrist if needed.
And before we medicate, maybe we can fix some of this stuff naturally, right? I mean, I feel like that should be the conversation.
I think that's the biggest thing too, is a lot of people, especially nowadays, and I'm not faulting anyone because that's the society we've built. It's our own fault, is everyone wants a quick fix. Mm-hmm. So give me this pill to make me feel better. But you need to do some work. You need to do some self-evaluation, self-reflection, in conjunction with possible medication, or maybe you don't need medication at all. And maybe you just need some tools to help you navigate these feelings. Depression is a sticky thing. It's kind of like quicksand, I describe it. So once someone starts to feel depressed, if they're not reaching for those life preservers, those coping tools, it can really just, you just sink. You sink, you're able to grab on and get out. So the further and further you sink, unless and a counselor can help you develop those life preservers that you can grab onto so that you don't end up sinking.
What else for depression? Any other tips?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So getting a good night's sleep. Sleep is so important. And I don't think I gave that enough credit either, but getting to bed.
You're right about sleep, because I just read this somewhere that most depressed people, it was close to 100%, have some sort of sleep disorder, whether it's sleep apnea or something. Like their sleep is affected.
It's so bad.
So just focus on that maybe first while talking with somebody.
It's one of the prime symptoms of depression is sleep and appetite going along with that.
Do you know what part of sleep? Is it more REM sleep, non-REM sleep?
I don't know what part of sleep, to be honest with you, but from what I understand, more trouble falling asleep and then can't get out of bed the next day because they're so tired. And then calling into work. So that's when it starts to affect function. What I do know too is I'm saying this because I've heard it from so many people. I'm trying not to generalize, but I have heard this, the numbing out and just zoning out to Netflix for hours. Mm-hmm. And it's not healthy. And I know that people are dealing with a lot nowadays. People have a lot on their minds, a lot of stresses, especially in these past year or two. So it becomes easy and almost an excuse to be like, well, I did so much today. I just want to binge watch Netflix and just zone out. Well, then they end up staying up all night and then exhausted the next day. And you repeat that pattern so often, it's not good for you overall. It's not good for your overall. And it's going to spill into other areas of your life. And it could make those serotonin levels dip if you repeat those patterns over again. So what I would say is a good night's sleep. And some people aren't morning people, but I will tell you what works for me. I know even before I had my son that getting up early, getting my day started with a good workout. I do a journal activity in the morning too, but those two things, and now I'm incorporating meditation. That's very new for me and I'm really enjoying it. Those things really set the foundation for my day. No matter what happens, I feel more focused and committed and like I can be more present. So if my toddler's having a tantrum, I'm able to navigate that better. So many things, it spills over into so many parts of your day. Now, some people are night people. So I would recommend establishing some kind of routine, whether it's at night that you can really commit yourself to. So that movement is so important. I know I said exercise 30 minutes a day, at least 5 days a week. It doesn't have to be crazy. You can go for a walk. And there's so many online programs now that you can do so much from home, so much. And I know a lot of the local gyms are even offering things that are on demand, you know, so get yourself moving, check out your and getting outside is huge. Even if the sun's not out, because we live in upstate New York, but even if the sun's not out, just getting that fresh air for 10 minutes can really give you that boost.
Especially in the morning too. That vitamin D, that sunshine in the morning helps to reset your circadian clock so that you sleep better at night, talked about with depression is important.
And that's the other thing, exercise will help with your sleep as well.
Yeah.
The one thing I wanted to talk about too, is I know a lot of people and I, myself included, especially if you're getting up early around 2-3 in the afternoon, a lot of people get that dip in their energy. And it goes way down. And that's usually when we're reaching for those like non-nutrient dense carb foods or
caffeine.
And that sometimes has the artificial sweeteners if people go get their Starbucks or whatever. So my suggestion for that time, because I've noticed it works for me, is grabbing a snack, like some raw veggies. I know it sounds crazy and people may shudder at the thought of some raw veggies. I don't want to just eat carrot sticks.
Dip it in guacamole. Yeah, put it in some hummus.
Have avocado. There's like yogurt based dips now. Mm-hmm. Anything. And I'm telling you that'll change your energy level. And around that time of day, what I try to do now is go outside with my son, because he's usually getting up from his nap. And even if I'm kind of low energy and feeling a little down, maybe studying didn't go as well as I wanted it to, as soon as we get outside, I'm a totally different human. Mm-hmm. So those things.
I got a question about addiction here, and then we'll talk more about you and kind of how you win the day and about your business and stuff. Mm-hmm. So family members, or I think we all know someone or have known someone that's battled with addiction. So mm-hmm. any advice for family members or friends who are just trying to support them, and how do they handle that situation? Do they have to hit rock bottom? Do they like what do they do there?
Gosh, this hits like near and dear to my heart. Every question you just ask, it like little lights went off of all the different people I worked with over the years. So do they hit rock bottom? I will have. One of my patients said to me, there's always a new bottom.
Yeah.
They'll just keep digging. For family members and friends specifically, I will say this, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do, mm-hmm. but you can take care of you and you can educate yourself about it. You can be supportive, sometimes supportive with boundaries, mm-hmm. which not giving this person money anymore, maybe not bailing them out anymore, but educating yourself so that you know, so that you can effectively help them, but also protect yourself. Mm-hmm. Addiction is a family disease. It affects everybody. There's things like Al-Anon, Alateen. Mm-hmm. That is for families that struggle, that have someone that is a member that has alcoholism. So like mm-hmm. Alateen, a child of an alcoholic can go get support. Al-Anon is usually for the significant other or the parents or the wife or husband, for them to go get support of mm-hmm. their loved one. I think those are great, and getting their counseling themselves. A lot of people, including myself, yes, we've had experiences with addiction in my family as well, but until you're working in the field of it, you don't realize there's just so much that is unknown about it mm-hmm. until you're actually totally submerged in it, and you can hear about it and you see other families that struggle with it and you're like, oh, that'll never happen to me, or that would never happen.
Yeah.
And so just getting support as much as possible for yourself.
That's a heavy question. Sorry, I just dropped it on you. That was off script, but that was a great answer. Yeah. I think taking care of yourself is key, setting up those boundaries to protect you and your family. Yeah. And it's not that you're shunning that person or running away. You're just putting your walls up and protecting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine. I worked with moms bringing their late teen, early 20-year-old sons into me. And those boys, I call them boys, without the drug, they're sweet, sweet boys. These are good mm-hmm. people. They just mm-hmm. happen to fall down the path of addiction and their mom and just crying, or their wives coming in. It was horrible to see. But I also know that there are resources for them and they don't have to struggle alone. And sometimes being part of a group like Al-Anon or Alateen, you get to identify with other people going through the same thing, and you just feel validated and supported, and there's strength in numbers. So.
Amen. So how do you win the day? What's a perfect day for Meg?
Oh, perfect day for Meg. So my perfect day would be, I try to practice it almost every day, but getting up early, having a good night's sleep. I like to be out of bed between 4:30 and 5 at the latest. Get downstairs, I light a candle, I do my meditation, and then I do my gratitude journal. So I journal 5 to 10 things that I am grateful for that have happened within the past 24 hours. Mm-hmm. A lot of people actually message me about this because I share it on my social media and they're like, what do you journal? I always don't know where to start. And that's another thing. I feel like we put too much pressure on ourselves. So I just go into it. Okay. I'm going to journal my 5 to 10 things that I'm grateful for that have happened within the 24 hours. Mm-hmm. Move on. I do a prayer portion of that. And I write down things that I would like to pray for, whether that's people, situations, whatever. And then that's it. So it's not a journal that has a prompt. Some people do that, some people don't. Mine is just free flowing, open mm-hmm. notebook type thing. And then I go down and do my workout for 45 minutes if I have the time, but usually 35 minutes. Mm-hmm. Now I have a son to take care of, so I usually try to get all that up. So I don't know if it's perfect day with Lucci or perfect day without Lucci that you want to hear about, but
you've worked half a day by the time most people are getting up. That's awesome. But you feel great.
Oh, I feel fantastic. And I'm such a better mom and I'm a better wife. And I'm a better person than myself. I grew up in a pretty toxic environment. So I feel really thankful that I'm able to take care of myself so that I don't recreate that generational curse for my son.
Mm. So, yeah, it starts with you for sure.
Yeah. And then when I go to bed, I try to shut down social media. So yeah. I try not to be on my phone, on Instagram or anything like an hour before bed because I'm done.
So funny story, the power went out 2 nights ago at our house at like 6 p.m. So we're playing out there. We're not even inside. We're outside. So humid out. But I'm like, oh, shoot, it's going to get hot. And like, we got a lot of food in the fridge and like the freezer. Like, what's going to happen here? How long is it going to go on for? Whatever. We didn't worry about it. My wife and I sat down, put the girls down for sleep. We sat down on the couch. I was going to do some work on my computer, but I couldn't. So we just talked for like an hour and a half. And then the sun was gradually going down. The house is getting darker and darker. No artificial lights, no lights at all. And we slept like babies. We were so tired at like 9 o'clock. We just passed out. And I woke up in the morning being like, wow, I slept really good. What was the difference there? And I think it was the artificial light.
You know, it's funny because I started to really recognize that for myself and like, and I'm saying this, unplugging your phone. And now they suggest that all the time, but we don't listen. Everyone, there's always the suggestion, don't be on your phone before you go to bed. And you know, it's funny. I noticed it with my toddler. Mm-hmm. So he likes to watch a show before bed. And sometimes a lot of times we do that because we snuggle in my bed, watches a show. But last night he was overtired. He did not nap. And I know he was overstimulated. And he kept saying, show mommy's bed. And he's crying, devastated. And I'm not telling him he's not going to at that moment, but I'm like, no, he's not going to have a show.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold him. I'll read him a book or I'll sing to him. So I grabbed him. I held him. And at first he's like, mommy, show. No. And I'm like, no, buddy, listen, let me just hold you.
Yeah.
He was like puddle in my arms. He just like relaxed into it.
Yeah.
Started differently, stopped crying and just like, so beautiful, you know.
That's his way of thanking you for setting that boundary and showing him love and support. Like, I got you. I'm gonna protect you. You don't need the show. It's overstimulating. Good job, mom.
Correct.
Now, I love to read, so I always ask my guests. I don't know if you're a big reader. If you are, what are you currently reading?
Okay, so mostly my notes. I know that you're going to ask me this. I have like a list of books I want to read after I'm done studying. So most of the time I'm trying to read my notes before bed, but I really want to read this book by Thomas Keating. He's actually a monk, but he has a book on divine therapy. And he has a couple other books on divine therapy with addiction. And I just really can't wait to get into that because it definitely is something that I want to focus on with my clients someday. So that's what I want to read. And you know what book I did read, which is kind of fun, before I started studying? Alicia Keys, her book.
Oh, really?
Great book.
Super talented individual. She's awesome.
So good. Talk about how she became more herself and kind of tuned out the noise of the world around her and focus on just staying true to who she is. And that was, it's a really good book, actually.
Love it. So what about your business? I mean, I believe you have an online business right now with coaching and all that, right? Are you taking clients? Yeah. Can you talk more about that?
I'm not right now because I'm studying so much.
You're busy. Yeah.
So what I usually do when I wasn't studying, I have my ongoing group. It's my girls that have been with me for like well over a year now, but I'm kind of just focusing on them. So what I usually do though, is I help health and fitness wise. I wasn't really focusing as much on the mental health piece, but I will be definitely once I get my license. So it's a little private Facebook group. We check in with each other. We do workouts together or like we do different programs, but we kind of do like an accountability check-in every day, like a sweaty selfie. I post healthy in there. Sometimes I'll do like a theme week where, okay, here's a week of practicing gratitude. Give them little exercises to do each day. So that's what I do, but I'm kind of at a place where I'm not accepting new clients at this time, because I can't, it would be unfair to me to, right. for, it would be unfair to the client for me to do that
both
right now.
Both you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't all to a new person right now.
Priorities. You got to take care of the test. Yeah.
And I don't want to sign somebody up and not be there for them. So I want to be able to get to it. So my hope is that after I take this test and some time goes by and we get through the holidays, I'm hoping to have my own eventually. So
I was just going
to
ask you, that's the future plan right there.
I would love that. And so I could kind of incorporate definitely the mental health piece, but also the physical and spiritual aspect of it as well.
Awesome. You're going to crush it. You'll make that happen. Just a matter of time.
That's what I'm hoping. So
final question. If you have a friend coming to Rochester who has never been here, where would you take them?
The public market. I love the public market. I know it sounds crazy, but I love the Rochester public market. We look forward to Saturday. We take our son. There's just so much like culture and diversity and food and good food. And sometimes there's music. And I think that Rochester has a lot of hidden gems that just go unnoticed. So Rochester, it's hard because everyone's like, oh, I don't know. It can be seen as maybe a boring city, but I love the public market. I love the whole experience of it, the coffee, the breakfast sandwiches, the donuts and getting produce or seeing what other little stands are up there. That's where I would take them.
That's a great answer. I think that's a Rochester staple for sure. There's so much to do there. Like you said, culture, a lot of good restaurants down there too.
Great restaurants, great people watching. It's nice in the summer, but it's also really nice in the fall too, when the temperatures are cooler. It's just great. And my son loves it. He's going to be 3 in October and he like knows every Saturday he actually says market, market. And I'm like, yes, buddy.
It's good for kids to go there. I feel like too, just to see different people. And I mean, you could even barter there. Like it's pretty great. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
Well, Meg, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for sharing your passion and all this knowledge and education for listeners. And I'm just so excited to see your future and what you're going to do in mental health, counseling people. So, and I can't wait to collaborate on cases down the road and good luck with your test coming up.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me too. I appreciate it. Such an honor.
That was awesome. Thank you so much for your time. Well, thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you gained a lot of value from what Meg shared with us today, and we'll share this with family and friends. Make sure to hit that subscribe button so you can join me next time with a new local guest in the health and wellness space. I hope you're having an amazing day, and I'll talk with you soon. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, I'm Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Are you dealing with aches and pains on a daily basis? I'm here to tell you that it does not have to be like that. I want to help you get out of pain. I want to help you solve your problems. I want to unravel what happened in the past to lead to where you're at now. So if that's you and you have questions about your health, call me, text me, email me, go to my website, DriscollChiropracticNY.com, read a little bit more about myself and my approach. You can call or text 585-672-3870. You can email me, info@DriscollChiropracticNY.com. You can find me on Facebook, Driscoll Chiropractic NY, or on Instagram, @DR.Driscoll. One more thing, guys, if you don't mind popping over to Apple Podcast Reviews and leaving me a 5-star review or any star, it doesn't matter. It's just feedback for me. And the goal and the mission of this podcast is to reach more people and to help more people. So thanks again, guys, for listening. It means the world to me. Buckle up. I got some great guests lined up. Talk to you soon.